Today's Digest for July 18, 2026. 10 stories today, covering AI infrastructure deals, zero-day exploitation, platform accountability, and a very expensive billing glitch. We look at two rival labs negotiating to share compute, a ransomware crew chaining flaws in enterprise access appliances, a home camera that gave away its owner's location for 6 years, and regulators leaning hard on the app stores. Here's the rundown. Anthropic is in early talks to lease roughly $10 billion in computing power from Meta. According to reporting from the New York Times that CNBC later confirmed, the arrangement would run about 2 years with Anthropic paying in monthly increments and either side able to exit early. What makes it striking is the direction of the flow. Meta builds its own Llama models and competes directly with Anthropic, but it is also sitting on an infrastructure position that could reach $145 billion in capital spending this year, and it has hired a former senior Amazon Cloud executive to help sell that capacity. Mark Zuckerberg has said other companies regularly ask whether they can buy compute from Meta at a premium. Anthropic already pays SpaceX over $1 billion a month for its Colossus data center, so leasing from a rival is less unusual than it sounds. Compute scarcity now overrides competitive instinct. Next up, Databricks has reached a $188 billion valuation in a new round led by Coatue, raising roughly $3 billion. The round has not fully closed and is expected to land this summer. The pace is the real story. Databricks was valued at $100 billion in September of last year, then $134 billion in February, and now $188 billion just 5 months after that. That is more than $50 billion of added valuation in under half a year. The company started as a big data analytics platform and has spent the past 2 years repositioning itself as the place enterprises run AI workloads on data they already govern, leaning on security and lineage features that appeal to large regulated customers. It is one of the clearest cases of an established data company successfully re-entering the market as an AI second act. Also today, some Amazon Web Services customers logged in late Thursday to find billing estimates in the millions, and in some cases billions of dollars. One documented case showed a customer quoted roughly $2.5 billion for a single month of usage. Amazon confirmed the problem and said the inaccurate estimates do not reflect actual usage or charges. The company traced it to a recent change in its billing computation subsystem, and an initial attempt to roll that change back failed to resolve it. Amazon's status page indicated the issue would persist for several more hours. A spokesperson declined to say how many accounts were affected or whether any were suspended while the wrong figures were displayed. For teams that wire automated alerts and hard spending caps to those numbers, a phantom $2 billion invoice is not a harmless display bug. Turning to security, researchers at Rapid7 say a threat actor tied to the Inc. ransomware operation has been exploiting two previously unknown flaws in SonicWall's SMA1000 series remote access appliances. Chained together, the pair let an unauthenticated attacker reach root-level control of the device. Rapid7's managed detection team found the activity inside customer environments where the attacker was collecting credentials and positioning for ransomware deployment across multiple enterprise networks. SonicWall published an advisory on July 14th and has since shipped a hotfix. It strongly encourages customers to apply. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency added both flaws to its known exploited vulnerabilities catalog the same day, which puts federal civilian agencies on a mandatory patching clock. Internet-facing access appliances remain one of the most dependable routes into a corporate network. Staying with Windows, a researcher using the handle Nightmare Eclipse published a proof of concept for an unpatched privilege escalation flaw in the Windows User Profile service, nicknamed Legacy Hive. It was released within hours of Microsoft's July patch Tuesday and has no CVE identifier assigned yet. The weakness involves inconsistent access control around how Windows loads a user's registry class as Hive, and a successful attack can leave a standard user running code with administrator rights the next time an administrator signs in. Notably, this release requires additional credentials to work, which the researcher appears to have done deliberately to make the flaw harder to weaponize. Microsoft says it is aware of the report and is investigating the validity and potential applicability of the claims. There is no patch or official workaround yet. Nightmare Eclipse has disclosed several Windows 0 days this year. Moving on, the 0 day initiative disclosed a heap-based buffer overflow in 7-Zip's XZ decompression handling, tracked as CVE-2026-14266, carrying a severity score of 7.0. The flaw triggers when 7-Zip processes a specially crafted XZ compressed archive, and exploitation could lead to code execution in the context of the current process. It does require user interaction, meaning someone has to open the malicious file, which is a meaningful limit on how far it spreads on its own. A fix landed in version 26.02, so remediation is a straightforward upgrade. 7-Zip is the kind of utility that gets installed once and then quietly ignored for years. And archive parsers are a perennial soft spot precisely because they are built to accept complex, untrusted input. Next, researcher Christopher Childress published findings on the TP-Link CasaSpot EC71 indoor camera, showing it returned precise GPS coordinates for the owner's home in responses that required no authentication at all. That particular exposure has been publicly documented since 2020. Pulling the firmware directly off the flash chip surfaced more account credentials stored as unsalted MD5 hashes and RSA private keys shared across the entire device fleet rather than generated per device. Childress reported the issues in January, and TP-Link assigned 2 CVE identifiers. Remediation ran well past the usual 90-day window because it required an architectural redesign, and one beta build along the way permanently bricked the test camera. Firmware version 2.4.1 now uses per-device keys, encrypts stored credentials, and removes location data from unauthenticated responses. Shifting to platform accountability. San Francisco City Attorney David Chiu sent letters to Apple and Google ordering them to remove dozens of so-called nudify apps, which digitally strip clothing from photographs of real people. California law criminalizes knowingly facilitating or recklessly aiding the creation of non-consensual deepfake pornography, and a 2025 statute lets victims bring civil actions against third-party facilitators. Chiu said both companies are profiting off apps that exploit women and girls, and that both have been warned repeatedly while continuing to process payments for the purchases. Google said all 5 Play Store apps named had been suspended, and that it has pulled hundreds of violating apps and restricted related search terms. Apple said it removed 3, is terminating the associated developer accounts, and is addressing policy violations with 4 others. The companies have 28 days to respond. Also today, Patreon is moving from asking AI crawlers not to scrape creator work to actually blocking them. The company is using Cloudflare's crawl control tooling to enforce that policy at the network edge, rather than relying on a robots.txt file that a scraper can simply ignore. During testing, weekly scraping attempts against the platform dropped from thousands to 0, which is a fairly direct measurement of how many crawlers had been disregarding the previous request. Search indexing bots that send traffic back to Patreon are still allowed through. The timing connects to Patreon's newer discovery surfaces, including a redesigned home feed, which exposed more creator content to automated collection. In the company's own framing, consent should not depend on whether a scraper chooses to behave, which is a fair summary of why the polite approach stopped working. Finally, Zoox has issued a software recall across its fleet of 105 robot axes after one of its vehicles encountered heavy smoke at an active emergency scene in June and did not handle it well. The vehicle braked hard, tried to steer away, then stopped, and a remote teleoperator had to reverse it so first responders could place traffic cones. No one was injured, and Zoox says it is the only event of this kind the company has experienced. The update adds the ability to detect and respond to heavy smoke when identifying active emergency scenes. The regulatory context matters here. Zoox filed the recall on July 7th, one day before the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration released a letter to autonomous vehicle companies stating that failing to detect and respond to such situations represents a functional insufficiency. This is Zoox's 4th recall since early last year. That's the digest for July 18th, 2026. 10 stories from rival labs leasing each other's compute to a camera that spent 6 years quietly broadcasting its owner's coordinates. If there's a thread running through today, it's that the polite request stopped being enough, whether that request went to a web scraper, a hardware vendor, or an app store. Back tomorrow with another rundown.